Wherever it comes from, the need to accomplish or live up to some ideal role, such as being the best parent, student, or worker, is very common in people who get TMS. A typical example was a patient who, through compulsive hard work, established a very successful business and became the patriarch and benefactor of his large family. He enjoyed the role, but felt the responsibility deeply. Throughout his entire adult life, he had low back pain, which resisted all attempts at treatment. By the time I saw him, the pain patterns were deeply ingrained and part of his everyday life. He understood the concept of tension-induced pain, but was unable to erase the patterns of a lifetime. He felt that he was too old to engage in psychotherapy, which is often required for patients like this. The primary benefit he derived from treatment was a reassurance that there was nothing structurally wrong with his back. People who get TMS are often intensely competitive, success-oriented, achieving, and usually very accomplished. In our culture, success often requires the ability to compete effectively, and they do. They are accustomed to putting a great deal of pressure on themselves and often feel as though they have not done enough. Often, they also feel that they have not been good enough. Sometimes the perfectionism manifests itself in unusual ways. I remember once seeing a young man who had grown up on a farm. He said that when he had read my first book, he didn't see how this perfectionism applied to him, until he realized that at haying time, he had a powerful compulsion to stack the bales of hay perfectly. At this point, you may be mentally scratching your head and wondering why being hardworking, conscientious, or compulsive and perfectionistic should bring on TMS. It is clear that there is a relationship between these personality characteristics and this pain syndrome, but what is it? To understand this, we need to think about anger and rage. Standing right beside the deeply buried feelings of low self-esteem is another of equal importance, narcissism. This refers to the human tendency to love oneself, that is, to be self-centered to an excessive degree. The evolution of culture in the United States seems to have produced people who are much more I than we oriented. I've heard it said that many of the American Indian languages had no pronouns for I and me because of a powerful sense of community and of being part of something larger than themselves. By contrast, contemporary North Americans believe in individualism and have great admiration for the person who goes it alone. But the other side of that coin is that the individual may become overly focused on himself and, if he is not motivated by lofty ideals, tend to greediness and avarice. Narcissism exists in all human beings to some degree. When it is strong, it can make trouble, since it means that the person is easily irritated, often frustrated by contact with others who do not do his bidding or do it badly. The result is anger, and if the person is very narcissistic, he or she may be angry all the time but never know it, because, like anxiety, it has been repressed. It's all there in the unconscious mind. Here's a seeming paradox. On the one hand, we have poor self-esteem, but then our narcissism leads us to behave emotionally like reigning monarchs. It's the story of the prince and the pauper. They are one and the same person. These diametrically different feelings are opposite sides of the same coin, though it may strike us as strange that they generally exist simultaneously. How typical of the human mind! It appears to be a storehouse of often conflicting feelings and tendencies, most of which we are totally unaware of. We are angry for other reasons. In fact, anything that makes us anxious, all unconscious, will tend to make us angry as well. You're trying to do a good job. You hope it turns out well. You're anxious, but you're also resentful of the problems with which you must contend. For example, other people and their needs. You're angry. Although the production of anxiety and anger is often work-related, personal relationships are an equally common source of repressed emotions. Family dynamics often produce serious problems that may be unrecognized because of their subtlety. One of my patients was a woman in her late 40s who'd had a sheltered adolescence, an early marriage, and, as dictated by her culture, thereafter had devoted herself exclusively to home and family. She did an excellent job, since she was an intelligent, competent, and compassionate woman. However, there came a time when she began to resent the fact that she had not been allowed to go to school as a child and could not read and write, could not drive a car, and had been denied many experiences because the needs of her family so dominated her life. She was totally unaware of the existence of this resentment and, as a consequence, developed a long, disabling history of back pain, including unsuccessful surgery. When she came to my attention, she was in constant pain and was almost totally unable to function. Through the education program and psychotherapy, she became aware of these repressed feelings, and the pain gradually disappeared. The process was not without psychological trauma, for now she was faced with the disapproval of her family and friends and her own deeply ingrained attitudes. She was in considerable conflict and now experienced emotional pain, but this was appropriate and vastly preferable to the physical pain of which she had been a helpless victim. An important source of anger and resentment, of which we are usually unaware, stems from our sense of responsibility to those who are close to us, like parents, spouses, and children. Though we love them, they may burden us in many ways, and the resultant anger is internalized. How can one be angry at elderly parents or a baby? A good example is the case of the young father whose firstborn turns out to be a non-sleeper. Not only does he lose sleep, but his wife is pretty much tied up with the baby around the clock. He has to pitch in during his free time. Their social life is much curtailed, and what was a long honeymoon before the baby came is now a grind. He develops back pain because he's mad at the baby. Ridiculous! And angry at his wife because she can no longer minister to his emotional and physical needs as she had before. Absurd! And to make matters worse, he has become a part-time